This is Akashvani. In the program Insights, now we bring you a discussion on government's 100-day intensified campaign to eliminate TB. The participants are Professor Urvashi B. Singh, Deputy Director General, TB, Ministry of Health and Family Welfare, and Rajesh Lake, Anchor.
It's a pleasure to have Professor Urvashi Singh with us. A warm welcome to Akashvani.
Thank you, Mr. Lake.
Tell us about the TB Mukt Bharat Abhiyan and its primary objectives.
So the TB Mukt Bharat Abhiyan was initially launched by our Honorable PM in the year 2018, where intensified efforts towards eliminating TB from the country were initiated. Of late, we are further trying to consolidate our efforts to actually incorporate the latest science that guided our strategy. And what we're trying to do is reach the population which can have the higher burden of TB without even knowing that they have TB. Because what has come forth is the actual existence of subclinical TB or asymptomatic clinical TB, that the patient may not have any symptoms, but he may actually be housing the TB bacteria. He may not be aware. The TB disease can continue to progress in such a patient. Also, he will continue to disseminate to his contacts while he himself is unaware that he has tuberculosis. So this is when we say the classical symptoms of 2 weeks of cough are not present. So what we are now trying to do in the 100-day campaign is to screen this population, the vulnerable groups or the high-risk groups that our prevalence survey in the country, which was done by the National TB Program along with ICMR, brought out. So it brought out the groups which have diabetes or people who are living with HIV, those who are chronic smokers, those who are alcoholics, those who had
TB earlier,
TB in the past, or even those who are older than 60 years population, those who have a low BMI. And such people are prone to TB. And we've found that such population contributes to about 80% of the TB in the country. So what we are now trying to do is be reaching out to this population and screening them using the approved screening tool, which is an X-ray. Following the X-ray, we then confirm that it is TB using the latest technology nucleic acid amplification test, which again, our network is very strong. We have close to 8,500 machines across the country. X-rays, again, we are well equipped. There's a big network of public, private X-rays, which are fixed. In addition, we've brought in handheld X-rays so we can go door-to-door screen this population. In addition, we're also screening symptomatic TB, which was being done earlier, symptomatic community who has the classical symptoms of cough, fever, etc. We've also expanded our symptoms range. You know, classically, we were only looking for 4 symptoms. Now we have expanded it to 10 symptoms because in the 4 symptoms, we were missing out extrapulmonary TB signs and symptoms. Now we ask whether the patient has fever, which can be low grade, loss of weight, loss of appetite, anorexia, then sweating during the night, cough, chest pain, hemoptysis, any swelling anywhere in the body, any changes in the body, because chronic TB could actually involve any organ. We can have joints involved, we can have pleura involved, abdominal TB can be there, genital system, urinary system, neurological, CNS TB. In fact, there is no organ devoid. So that is where we're trying to reach. Few other vulnerable groups, if I may list them out, is the mining community, because they are exposed to so much dust, silicosis, etc. can occur. Along with that, TB sets in and then there is transmission. These people are, I said, low BMI is one vulnerable group. So the transmission goes on. Their immune system is weak. So that is the vulnerable group. The common feature is the immune system is weak. So we are trying to reach all of them, screen them. If they themselves are not coming forth. Also, another thing the prevalence survey brought out was the health-seeking behavior in India is not good. Like people will probably sit at home with their symptoms and ignore their symptoms traditionally, that they don't seek healthcare. While with such a massive system that the government has built, in fact, let me bring this out, that there is no other country which can actually boast of this, that 91% of the funding for TB program is by the domestic budget. Most other countries are dependent on support from outside. We are not. We are self-reliant.
No, Professor Singh, what is worrying me is what you mentioned about subclinical TB. One could be carrying it.
Absolutely.
And one is not aware of it.
That's right.
I could be carrying, or anyone, my colleagues could
yes.
be carrying.
Yes.
So to figure out what needs to be done next, what would you suggest? That should one go regularly for tests? Or should one, you know, have oneself x-rayed every year? Or what should I do to keep myself safe from it?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And like I mentioned early on, that this is a disease transmitted like COVID. You know, people were so well aware of droplets when one is speaking, coughing, sneezing in a room, or person who's close to the diseased person will get the infection. So TB is also airborne. Now, airborne adds another feature. It is not only the direct droplet. It could be the dried droplet, which is a dried droplet nuclei, which can become suspended in the air. So air in a room where a patient is housed could be potentially contaminated, can infect a new person. Having said that, most of us have a good immune response and we'll be able to contain that infection. Risk groups that I mentioned have a weaker immune system and they would possibly not be able to get rid of the bacteria. And they may not be aware because the symptoms are not classical. That is when we call it subclinical TB, which is clearly asymptomatic, but the disease is there. So like you said, ideal would be that they get an annual checkup, annual screening by an X-ray. That is what we are recommending to the high-risk groups. Not everybody, not a person who doesn't have these high-risk features. So a screening by an X-ray annually is a wonderful suggestion. In fact, I'm very happy that it came from you. It's not a medico suggesting, but so if our population can be that well aware, that is the message we would like to send across.
So what is the significance of this 100-day intensified campaign? Especially a lot of emphasis is being given to prisons. The inmates and all are going to be screened. So what is the significance of that? Are 100 days enough for such a wide population?
Absolutely. Wonderful question. So I think I've already laid the context for why a prison can be a hotspot. We use the word hotspot. A hotspot is any place where transmission can be happening. And we use the word chain of transmission. In science, we use these words. So supposing I was a disease patient and I'm not really aware, or even if I'm aware and I'm coughing, sneezing, I possibly would think it could be common cold or it is just a seasonal viral I've got. And I may not have a sinister disease like TB and I may not take precautions. And the droplets that I release while I speak, sneeze, cough can get dried up, form droplet nuclei, which is airborne. So if the wherever the air movement is there,
and
for example,
enclosed.
It is enclosed. That is precisely that is why the household contacts are another high risk groups. Yeah. Household contacts of a TB patient. So prisons, we're not only looking at prisons, we're also looking at mining areas, tribal communities where people do not access care. Prison is, of course, a classical example of a closed space where transmission can go on. So we are offering screening. X-ray is the current proof tool where we use for screening. But we follow it up with confirmation before we start treatment. And this is a completely treatable, completely curable disease. This is where I want to stress, there's a lot of stigma in the community. And we would like people to understand there is no need for a stigma or to sit back at home and not approach a doctor that we have some symptoms or we're finding that we're losing weight, we don't feel hungry, we get fever in the evening. They should just come forth and seek care.
So how does TB Mukt Bharat Abhiyan align with India's goal to eliminate TB by 2025?
So let me say the efforts towards TB elimination have been concerted, especially the past few years. All of us have been working very hard, the physicians, the whole TB elimination program team. So what we've now done is we've changed the strategy a little bit. So like I said, National Prevalence Survey brought out that these high-risk groups contribute significantly. Then it brought out the health-seeking behavior is poor in India. We are now doing active or intensified case finding by reaching the patient who could be having subclinical TB or an asymptomatic TB, or the patient is poor and he doesn't want to lose a daily wage, you know, and he's low BMI. He doesn't want to come to a physician or to a healthcare center for an evaluation. He ignores his symptoms. He thinks it is just routine anorexia or, you know, sometimes you ascribe it to some other reason. So, like I said, all this is new evidence. Subclinical TB is a new term, which most people may not even have heard of. We have been working on it for 10 plus years now.
So, am I right in saying that the mantra is to screen, detect and treat?
Absolutely. I would like to add a fourth component where we are stressing in a big way. So, I mentioned low BMI as one of the risk groups. So, the low BMI or patients who have low weight for their height, and is it goes hand in hand with TB. Disease per se causes anorexia and the patient doesn't consume food. It is bi-directional kind of a role. What we have done since 2018 when the Nikshay Poshan Yojana was launched, this was the science behind it. Scientifically, there are publications which have shown if we give nutrition support, incidence in household contacts will drop.
Low BMI again, you are
low
targeting.
BMI we are targeting. Also, the mortality goes down. In patients who have TB and they have low BMI, if we support the nutrition, they are less likely to worsen because their immune system gets strong, they get cured of the disease, And those who are exposed, for example, the household contacts of a TB patient who are exposed to a TB patient, if they are given good nutrition, they do not get TB. So right. The role of nutrition is very, very significant. So what the government has done of late, just 3 months ago, from 1st of November, the Nikshay Poshan Yojana, which was, again, our country can boast of it because no other country offers that kind of support, 500 rupees per month to every patient of TB was being given from 2018 till 24. From 1st November 2024, this has been increased to double the amount, 1,000 rupees per month throughout the course of treatment. So I would like to also stress here, in addition to nutrition, and the treatment adherence is very important. Sometimes, like I said earlier, if the patient starts feeling better, he would probably not be careful about taking the drugs and he may not complete the treatment regimen, thinking that I'm feeling better yeah, yeah. and I'm okay, why should I take these drugs? So that is a mistake. People should not do that. You see, treatment regimens, we work day and night, how we can give better treatment or more efficacious treatment. You may be aware that the government brought out the new drug resistant regimen after a lot of research that was again done by the National TB Program along with ICMR in the country, the BPAL-M regimen, which is a shorter regimen for our MDR-TB patient. It is more efficacious. But we do not do it till we are all convinced that this will be beneficial for our patients and there will be no harm done.
So how long is the duration of the treatment? Or does it vary from person to person?
So for drug sensitive, that is rifampicin, which is a mainstay drug, rifampicin sensitive TB, we give 6 month regimen. Now we have the 6 month regimen BPAL-M for drug resistant TB as well. But some patients, a very small percentage, may not actually be given BPAL-M because there are certain inclusion-exclusion criteria based on which we can give BPAL-M. There is research ongoing to further bring down the duration to less than 6 months for drug-sensitive TB. But for drug-resistant TB, this is the shortest period that we have.
So they need to complete the treatment. They need to have food, which is nutritious food. Apart from that, do they have to undergo any other lifestyle change?
So the lifestyle change would only be that they remain healthy. And also, again, coming back to the vulnerable or the high-risk group, it is important that they take care of their diabetes. If they do not take care of their diabetes, the immune system remains weak. Those who are smokers should go for smoke cessation. Those who are alcoholics should go for alcohol cessation. And for the others, just to remain healthy and maintain their BMI, it should not be low. It should not be high also.
Where will the general public get the awareness from? What are the campaigns that your department is undertaking so that the information goes out to the people?
So it's housed on the Ministry of Health and Family Welfare website per se. In addition, what we've done is we have designed a lot of IEC material, which is being given to even the peripheral areas. Even the PHCs have those IEC material. Also, earlier this week, we had a high-level meeting where the Honorable HFM had a meeting with line ministries. So we have 22 line ministries who are working with us and are actually disseminating this information to their peripheral offices. Okay. We're practically covering the whole country and along with radio jingles, along with TV, covering the TB symptoms, the vulnerable population, and the general awareness is being spread all across the country along with the 100-day campaign.
Professor Singh, I would like to know from you, what role do NGOs, private healthcare providers, and community organizations play in supporting this initiative?
Let me elaborate. We had a private provider agency. This was the first time, India was the first one to design this, that there are agencies which are onboarding private sector. There is, in addition to the NPY support that is being given to patients, there is support being given to those who notify a disease. Supposing a person brings a patient to the health system, we're giving support to them. We're giving support to treatment supporters who supervise the treatment of a patient. So all that is being done by the government to encourage people to come forward. So that kind of a support is provided by several treatment supporter groups and all, but to the private sector and the private physicians also. So TB is a notifiable disease and most practitioners would notify. We have taken agencies which will help the private sector to notify disease on our Nikshay portal. The benefit of that goes to the patient, not really to the private physician. The patient who gets notified gets free diagnosis. Even in the private sector, the diagnosis is being given free by the program.
On that note, Professor Urvashi Singh, we would like to thank you for this valuable information that you've given us and thank you for being with Akashvani.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on government's 100-day intensified campaign to eliminate TB. The participants were Professor Urvashi B. Singh, Deputy Director General, TB, Ministry of Health and Family Welfare, and Rajesh Lake, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.